Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I am Kojo Benton Williams. In this episode, we will be delving into the World Tourism Organization's activities in the Africa region, and my guest is the Director of Africa, Elsia Granku. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Good afternoon once again to the VA Tourism Podcast. And I'm privileged to be joined by Elsia Granku, the Director of Africa at the UNWTO. Elsia, I mean, this year was built to be a very good year for Africa and everything. And, you know, we were at the General Assembly in St. Petersburg, where the 10-point agenda was adopted, and, you know, at FITU it was presented. We're supposed to have, in fact, we started a first program in Cote d'Ivoire with a global investment forum for Africa and all of that. Can you walk us through what was it like, you know, for the year for Africa and how things were going to be?
Good afternoon, Kojo. It's always a pleasure to talk to you in Voyage Africa. And as you rightly alluded in the beginning, this was definitely going to be a very exciting and interesting year for us, primarily because, as you know, and you mentioned also the 10-point plan agenda that had been driven by the member states. We were now consolidating all the efforts towards putting activities that we had already planned to roll out. And indeed, we did start the year with the first thematic, which is about investment opportunities. And this was done through the investment forum that was held in Cote d'Ivoire, which superseded also the Investor, which is the annual investment forum that we host within the framework of FITUR. And obviously, this 10-point plan, we cannot implement everything throughout this year. It was meant to be rolled out in the next 2 years, since we had the approval from the Executive Council and then subsequently endorsed by the General Assembly. We were going to touch over other thematics as well, such as the Brand Africa, which, you know, is something that is very much talked about. We were also going to look at the issues of security in tourism. We also touch on the aspect of statistics. But all of this encompasses capacity building and training, which is also central to this agenda. Of course, unexpectedly, we went through this pandemic, and what we've had to do is to review the planning that we had for the year. And how did we manage this? Because we had already planned within the framework of our commission that was going to be held in Seychelles in the month of March, we were also going to put some emphasis on investment, entrepreneurship, especially for the youth. But with the change in the program, we went ahead and did our commission virtually. So we just had to focus on the issues that were related to COVID. But over and beyond that, for us to be able to still continuously support our members, not only on the impact of COVID, but trying to find some sense in all of this, we launched immediately once we saw that the situation was not going to be looking good. We launched a survey to our members in regards to this 10-point agenda to say, look, obviously, the program that we had planned out could not happen as we would have wished it to, but we wanted also to get their views, because this is an agenda that is very much driven by the members. In fact, it's all the concerns that they've had that brought us to this strategic agenda with all these key thematics that we are now working towards covering to help support the different member states. So when we launched the online survey, we put across some key questions in regards to the agenda, and also taking into account the new context that we're operating in with the COVID. And we saw, interestingly, some key areas that members wanted us to keep our emphasis on. Very strongly it came across, especially security and tourism, because it's related to all the crises and what we're going through at the moment. Brand Africa also remained very topical into this. And then, of course, training, capacity building, etc. So what we did, based on the results that we found from this survey, we tried to tailor the program of work going forward, which obviously, as you know, a lot of things now we have to do it either virtually and remotely. A big part of our work also concentrates on the technical aspect and assistance that we can give to our members on the ground. So in order to be able to move forward, we've conducted several webinars. It has been very informative as well to give guidance to our members on the current situation, how it's evolving. We've also done a monitoring of what is happening on the ground in different countries. And we segmented this in four different pillars, looking at the fiscal policies that governments were putting in place to help their people and the tourism sector, as well as the monetary policies, etc. All of this we've been monitoring countries across the region. But then, as you know, with the COVID-19, the Secretary General also brought together private sector stakeholders, as well as member states and international organizations, including other UN agencies. And through the Global Crisis Committee, we've been able to launch the guidelines that today members are using to set up their health and safety protocols. Okay. So beyond just the agenda, these are the other areas that's been touched on. And beyond the webinars, what we've done is now to conduct a series of technical workshops that we've been doing this remotely and virtually. And the first one that we ran was, I believe, last week. It was on tourism and security, and the focus was on crisis management in a period like we are now. And obviously, going forward, we will run more of such workshops that can give our members like tangible results and things that they can apply and that can be supportive to them in this current period.
Okay. I want us to backtrack a bit and look at the role and the works of UNWTO generally. If you can give us a sense of that. And again, then you can tie in about activities in Africa. Generally, those who don't know what UNWTO is, if you can give us an overview of exactly what the UNWTO does.
Sure. Of course, our work, as you know, is to promote tourism. That's across all the regions. And to work with the different ministries to mainstream tourism in their national agenda. But of course, we also promote tourism, and we encourage always to promote responsible and universally accessible tourism. What do we mean by that? Of course, today you have seen all around the world, especially with this situation of COVID, we have to be responsible in how we conduct ourselves when we are doing enjoying the activities of the sector. We have to be mindful of the environment that we're in, the economic aspect, the environment aspect, and the social aspect of it, because all of these three key areas impact on the livelihoods of people. And these activities that are conducted, we have to ensure that we are mindful of the impact that it has across the board. So, in addition to this, we, as I mentioned, we work very closely, and as you may know, with in Africa, a lot of countries now are looking more at the tourism sector as a viable economic sector. which is different to what it was in the past, where we were relying more on the natural resources. So we work with, because we interface mostly with tourism ministries, because we are an intergovernmental organization, and we work with them in helping them set up the policies, the right policy framework, in order to be able to develop their tourism sector. And that's why I mentioned earlier as well that a lot of the work that we do, especially in the Africa region, is focused on the technical aspect of it, because a lot of countries where they are now turning to this sector, we give them support with, be it with their strategies, their master plans, their marketing plans, their statistics framework, for example. So there are different thematics that we cover under these areas. And really, it's not only to help mainstream tourism in the national agenda, but also for members and as well as the general public to understand the value that tourism brings to our livelihoods. Because we've seen in instances that, as with everything that we do, it has to have the right balance. And we need to ensure that it is done correctly, because obviously there are other issues that comes up that we've seen within the tourism sector. I give an example, maybe in Europe, recently we were talking about over-tourism, for example. So these are issues that comes with the development, but as long as we have the foresight to manage it appropriately, then I think this is the goal where we are achieving, is to promote tourism, but in a sustainable and responsible manner, but that is also accessible for everybody.
Okay, so from the structure of the private sector, how do you engage them? I know you have the affiliates program.
For sure, because tourism as a sector, as I mentioned earlier, the government we are working with is to guide them with the policy framework. And tourism is a sector that you need both the public and the private sector to work hand in hand. And obviously, within our structure, we are the only UN agencies that has both the public and the private sector involvement. And through the affiliate memberships, this is where all the private sector organizations and entities are grouped. And that's where we tap into the private sector, but also for us, it is very important, over and beyond working just with the ministries, we also work very closely with the tourism boards, which is also working with the government majority of the time, but they are focused more on the marketing aspect. So it's very important to loop them into our discussions, because they are also interfacing a lot with the private sector. There is the Chamber of Commerce also that we also try to engage, especially okay. when we look at the aspect of investment. But in addition to that, not just the private sector. Private sector is key. But in addition to the private sector, we also have to consider other ministries within the government framework, because tourism is a sector that is transversal, as you know. Yeah. So if you're talking about environment, there is the component of tourism there.
Yes.
If you're talking about agriculture, transport, etc. So everything is interlinked. So that's why for us it's very important to have this consultative and cooperative approach with both the private sector and the other government entities. And you saw that. I mean, a part of the agenda, one of the topic is on tourism and air connectivity. And you saw 2 years ago, we held the first conference in Cabo Verde on this issue. And it was the first time that two UN agencies together, UNWTO and ICAO, and we were able to bring not just tourism ministers, but transport ministers to be able to discuss about the various challenges that we face in this sector, and not to forget other partners that works with us, such as the African Union, such as IATA, and the rest, and the civil aviation authorities. They were all there. So for us, it's not just talking to one segment, it's across the board. We try as much to keep everybody informed and engaged in everything that we do.
Okay, now let's go straight on to the 10-point agenda, and then you can walk us through how it, you've had to do a realignment of it to ensure that, because of the times that we are in, how we're going to start with it. We have investment, we have customer, we have culture. So if you can walk us through that journey of the 10-point agenda for Africa and what it means for the continent and for tourism in general.
Okay, I think it's important to say here how this all came about, because obviously our work from the past had been central on these topics. But when the Secretary General took the helm 2 years ago, what he did was to have this discussion with the ministers, and the ministers very strongly wanted to have a specific agenda for Africa, meaning that all the different challenges and issues that the countries had been faced with, they wanted to trim and put everything in one like a strategic plan, in order to be able to then look at how UNWTO can give the technical support on this. So obviously it was a process. We consulted through our commission meetings that happens annually. This is where we get a chance to discuss about our program of work and also hear the countries and all the various issues and challenges they want to share with us. Once we had that, then obviously we grouped it under these thematics, the 10-point themes that we have there. But also because parallelly, within the main frame of the UN framework, we're working towards the UN SDGs.
Yes.
So it was very important for us also to ensure that this Africa agenda is aligned with attaining the 17 SDGs. So that is why for each of the 10-point plan, you see we also link it to the SDG that we feel it will translate and help us to attain the objective of. And once that was done, we had obviously to go through the processes internally. Since we are governed by a General Assembly, we had to bring this 10-point plan to the Executive Council for approval. And why, if you may ask, is because parallel to that, we also, on the one hand, is cognizant that we need to have financing to do anything related to the different activities. And our framework to allow us for this, of course, we have to go through the different instruments to get the approval. So with the seed funding that UNWTO proposed to the Executive Council, and with this strategic framework, it was approved and then endorsed by the General Assembly. And from there, our priority was to implement the different activities related to this 10-point plan to be able to translate it to meet the demands of our member states. And as I mentioned earlier, it is an agenda that is primarily driven by the members, but at the same time, we have to work jointly with them and also with the other donor agencies that we work with in order to be able to have financing for some of the projects. And because the seed funding we have is very minimal, it will allow us to do a couple of things, be it research or some workshops here and there. But we have to build on this because, for example, when we held the first conference with ICAO, we had to join forces, and also a big contribution was from the member state itself. And now this is what we are currently doing, is trying to see who are the other donor agencies that sees the importance of this 10-point agenda and the areas that it touched on to give us additional support where necessary. I don't know if you want me to just quickly mention, because here we are talking about Brand Africa.
No, and please, as you know, just give us the whole sense of it.
Just quickly, is advocating Brand Africa, promoting travel facilitation, which I talked about earlier, including visa, air connectivity, strengthening tourism statistics. This is an area where it's still very less developed, I would say, in our region. We often have challenges in gathering the data when it comes to our region, Africa. And this is why members themselves, they've realized this and they are looking to us to support them in being able to have a proper structure for their data collection, be it if they move towards a tourism satellite account or any other way that we can support them based on what they have existing already. Of course, training and capacity building is overarching in all that we do. It is a key component. It's very central. And that is why also through the academy, from our commission meeting, the Secretary General informed the members that through the academy, we offering online scholarships to our members in tourism management. And these is available to all our member states. It's a free service that we offer. Members will have to obviously facilitate this through us, but then they can sit quietly at home, follow this course online, and then they are issued with their certificate at the end. And obviously other workshops and capacity building activities we do along the way, depending on the thematic and activity we're working on. Promoting innovation and technology, we've seen now in this era that we're in, this is the new normal, if so to speak. It's an area where we know also in Africa, we are still very much ahead because we, in a lot of ways, because we see there are a lot of technological hubs, hotspots on the continent, and you see the youth of today, they really maximizing the use of technology in coming up with innovative solutions. And through our department that looks at this section, we've launched, as you know, in the past, various competitions start for startups to join, and this is primarily to help push forward all the innovative ideas that the youth of today may have to help propel the tourism sector, because now we have to look at new innovative ways to be able to keep the sector going. Obviously, I talked about tourism and security, fostering resilience. We shifted from issues of security attacks, but today we are dealing with a health pandemic. Okay. So all of this is related. We have to look at how to communicate correctly to our partners, to the source markets, especially. And we've seen this very much come alive with this pandemic, because it has been very important to keep on our side, keep our members informed, but also for our members to keep their partners, the stakeholders, informed of what is happening. And you've seen with the collaboration of CNN, we've launched the Travel Tomorrow campaign, which has been embraced by a lot of countries.
Okay.
It has helped to keep destinations at the top of minds of people, because of course we will travel again, as you know, but we had to find a way to help the members also to keep that connection with their source markets. Unlocking growth through investment promotion is also one of the key topics of this agenda, and you already alluded to it, that we had this first conference at the beginning of the year. And as I mentioned earlier, we have yearly the Investor, but that is why it was important also to engage the Chambers of Commerce to see also what is happening on the ground? What are the challenges that most of the investors are telling us that they have they want to invest in the tourism sector in Africa?
Because finish, please.
Yeah, more and more we see that there is the interest there. Then just three last points is on women and youth, empowering women in the tourism sector, which you know is also very important. We had a session in Ghana related to this. We also had a report that was updated, especially on the role of women in tourism. Advancing the sustainability agenda, of course, a lot of the activities, tourism-related activities in the Africa region, you know, is related to the wildlife. And there is a big proportion of the economic feedback that comes from there, which unfortunately now we have to wait a bit to see with COVID how things goes, because indeed this is a sector that's been heavily affected. And of course, last but not least, is promoting our culture, our heritage. This is very important, and it's one of the areas that we will be working with the members also, in order to be able to attract visitors to the destination. And that includes the point you mentioned about gastronomy, because this is something that our Secretary General
very passionate about.
Is very passionate, because tourism, as you know, is a people sector. It's people travel today to learn about the cultures of the destination where they're going to. That is why we see more and more people wanting to go and see how things are done at the local level. This is why also we've been pushing a lot in the promotion of rural tourism, because this is where majority of people are traveling. Yes, for the rest and relax. Yes, to enjoy the other activities that are there, but also to understand the history, the cultural heritage that a country has. And this spans across, because you have people in the diaspora that will travel specifically for this as well.
Okay, because so what are the timelines for the 10-point agenda?
The 10-point agenda, as I told you, we had foreseen for the next 2 years to be able to implement some. We cannot finish doing all, because this is an ongoing plan, and we have to adapt as things evolve.
Yeah.
And this is now what we're experiencing, showing us that, of course, we have to adapt. We have a framework to guide us, but we will have to adapt with the eventualities, and if there is a need to revise it, we will have to revise it. But always it is done in consultation with the members.
With the members. Okay. Now, one key area which is a challenge, and you mentioned your earlier statement, was the issue of data. Because often than not, when you see the UNWTO data, and they put a line, a footnote, and say that either lack of data or limited data from a specific country. What are you doing to address those challenges from your member state?
Of course, the data that we produce, of course, we have to get it from credible source, and that's through the ministries, through the various portals that are out there, and the different stakeholders that we've been working with over the years. But as I mentioned, it is still a challenge in some countries where the data is not captured properly, or their own framework is not necessarily complete. So what we try to do is to engage, because within the ministry, we know we try to get directly involved with the statistics department, the National Bureaus of Statistics, the Central Bank, the immigration. So we try to get involved, engage with these stakeholders, so that we are able to at least verify the data that we are sharing, and also try to see how we get additional data that may be lacking. And sometimes, to be honest, the data might be there, but it's just a matter of having it channeled properly through. And secondly, still, there is a lot that needs to be done in this area. So that is why, under this 10-point agenda, when it comes to the tourism statistics, what we've done is to organize workshops. We started this when we just launched the agenda, which was about 2 years ago, where we bring the different countries together. But when the countries come, of course, this is where we encourage them to ensure that other partners, such as what I mentioned earlier, Central Bank, Immigration, the National Bureaus of Statistics, are also there, because they are the people that are dealing in this sector. So they participate in these workshops to see how we can better help them. But in addition to that, we also work with the member states in applying the methodology that we have for the tourism, setting up of the tourism satellite account. It's a process. It's not something that you can do it in a matter of months. For some countries, they have started it. It has been a couple of years, because you have to link up so many sectors within the country itself, because a country that has borders with other countries that are landlocked, you have to look not just at the airports, but all the frontiers where people are crossing every day. You need to be able to gather the data in that sense. So the work is ongoing. And of course, we recognize the fact that in some countries, this is an area that is weaker than others. So that is why we try our best to support them through these technical workshops and activities that I mentioned earlier.
Okay, no, thank you. Thank you so much for this insightful and deep conversation about what happens at the UNWTO in Africa. In wrapping up in less than 30 seconds, can you tell us who Elsie Agranku is? Brief about yourself also. Where are you from and how you've been working in the tourism industry?
Well, Kojo, as you know, I'm from the Seychelles, and Seychelles, as you know, is a country that tourism is our bread and butter. So it's a sector that I'm passionate about. I grew up in a family that my mother has been working in the tourism sector all her life. And in every household in Seychelles, you will find that somehow or the other, somebody is connected to the tourism sector. Yeah. Well, I'm very passionate, not just about tourism, but about our continent, Africa, as well, because there is so much diversity, and there's still yet a lot to be discovered. That is why, for me also, this Brand Africa challenge is, I'm very passionate about as well, because I'd like people that is yet to discover about Africa get a better insight, rather than just what sometimes we can find in the mainstream media, you know, because there is so much positive stories, yeah, and there is still so much to be discovered on the continent in terms of leisure activities, in terms of tourism, wildlife, the culture, wildlife, etc. So yes, I would tell you I'm passionate about the sector, about the continent, especially to ensure that we always keep everybody involved, okay, the island states and the different countries, and wish that more and more people know about the good.
So yeah, before we wrap up, who is Elsie Agranku? Can you tell us more about yourself and you know, in brief, where are you from and your passion for tourism? You know, even working in the industry before you got to UNWTO, and yeah.
Yeah, sure, Kojo. As you know, I'm from Seychelles, and Seychelles, as you know, is a country that tourism is our bread and butter. We depend heavily on the sector, and it is indeed a sector that I'm passionate about. I've grown up in a family that has also been involved in the tourism sector. And prior to joining UNWTO, I've been very much working in the tourism sector, both in the private sector and also the public sector, because my background is primarily in hotel management. And yes, as I was saying, it's a sector that I'm passionate about, but more so, especially for the continent, for me, it's very important that the general public out there, for those who may not know, because there is, as you know, there is this general perception about Africa. That's why I'm very passionate in promoting the positive side, especially of the sector that you can see in our region, because as you know, there's a lot of potential that is still yet to be tapped in Africa. And we must continue to make this known worldwide. That is why with this Brand Africa Challenge campaign that we've launched, we are hoping to help shift this perception that is there about Africa so that we reflect more of the positive things that are happening on the ground, so that people know that there is more to it that we can see sometimes being put out in the general mainstream media that does not reflect entirely all that is there. I think it's very much our role, together with the support of the media and through your platform as well, to continue to promote the good things that is being done, especially in the tourism sector today in Africa.
Thank you so much, Madam Elsa Granko, Director of the Africa region at the UNWTO. It's been an insightful session at, you know, walking us through the ins and outs of UNWTO's activities in Africa. Thank you once again for joining us on the VA Tourism Podcast, and we will come your way next time with exclusive and interviews of the shakers and movers of this, you know, of the tourism sector.